Hi, everyone. This is Matt Orlando from TheRunnerDad.com. I have the privilege today of speaking with two-time U.S. Olympic marathoner Kara Goucher. Kara, I just want to say hello. How are you?
I'm good, Matt. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. Really great. I know a lot of people that read the blog and follow me on Twitter are definitely interested in, you know, staying up to date with your career and everything that's going on in your life. So I really appreciate this opportunity. So for anyone that is not familiar with your running background, would you mind taking a minute to give a quick highlight reel, I guess, of your career to date? If you want to start all the way back in high school or wherever you want to start, it would be great.
Okay. Well, I started running 23 years ago, so it's been a long time. Started running for my junior high when I was 12 and became a state champion. Wasn't like the smoothest transition, but that got me a college scholarship. I went to University of Colorado, where I kind of took my time developing and then became NCAA champion my senior year. And then right out of college, I signed with Nike 12 and a half years ago and been running professionally for them for the last 12 and a half years and made my first Olympic team in 2008 and made my second Olympic team in 2012.
So I guess it's safe to say that running is doing what you want it to do.
Yeah, I mean, I love running. I love running. You know, I came from a very athletic family, and I did all sorts of sports, and I had, like, private instructors for tennis and swimming and all these sports, and I just was honestly just terrible at everything. And running was the first sport where I could just do it. I didn't have to think about where I was, like, where my hands were on the racket or where I was planting my ski pole. I just did it, and it was, I fell in love with it right away. And it took my family by surprise because I was so competitive, and no one ever knew that that part existed in me. So running was something I just loved right away.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, find that when they're not good at other sports, running kind of just allows them to see themselves
yep.
and get out there. So in tying back to your career, this first user question I have is from a Twitter user, Peace Darling. And he wanted to know, you know, you've obviously had a very accomplished career to date. He wanted to know, what running accomplishment are you most proud of so far?
I'm proud of, I guess, a lot of things, but probably in 2007, I won the bronze medal in the World Championship in the 10,000 meters in Osaka. And it kind of started, you know, in 2004, we had two medals in the Olympic Games in the marathon, a silver from Meb Keflezighi and a bronze from Dina Caster. But we hadn't really seen a resurgence in the track yet, and as Americans. And when I won the medal in Osaka, at every major championship since, we have won some sort of medal in some distance event, whether it's the 1500 or the 10K again. And I feel proud about that. And I've heard, you know, people say, Delaney Flanagan, I've heard her say, you know, I saw Kara winning that medal, and I thought, why am I not winning the medal? I'm just as good as she is. So that I'm kind of proud of, because I feel like it kind of elevated the way all American runners kind of look at the way we compete. Instead of just trying to get to the world champs in the Olympics, we started thinking about actually bringing home hardware.
Right. To me, it's amazing how talented the across the board the U.S. Olympic team is. And, not to sound cheesy, but it definitely makes me proud to be an American when I watch Olympic sports. And it's amazing that you're able to be a part of the whole atmosphere of it. So all of us have our favorite races. I know for me it's Virginia Beach, the Rock and Roll Half Marathon. But what's been your favorite race so far, or your favorite course, and what special challenges did that course or race present?
Yeah, you know, I am the kind of person that kind of falls in love with wherever I'm at, and I pick my races very specifically. So most of the races I do have really, you know, deep meaning for me. I'm lucky enough to be at a point in my career where I can really pick and choose what I want to do. You know, when I ran the New York City Marathon in 2008, that was my first marathon, and that was really special to me because I was born in New York City, and it was just like a full circle moment for me coming back and discovering myself as a marathoner there, which was just a huge day for me. And then I fell in love with the Boston Marathon just a few months later when I ran there, and especially after everything that's happened there last year. You know, I just really love Boston so much. They're both really challenging courses. I think New York is one of the hardest courses in the world. You never really get to just get into your pace. You're always making a hard turn or going over a bridge, and I think I like that about it. I think it really takes away from just, you know, the people that are just there that can just run fast. It becomes much more about an overall athlete and an overall technical runner. Boston is the same thing with the hills and the way the course is laid out, and you can't just run away from everybody. You know, you have to really think about what you're doing and plan so that you still have energy after heartbreak, and you get up heartbreak and you still have 10K to go, and you have to be able to strategize, like, how are you going to run after that? So I like courses like that that have a lot of challenge to them.
That actually leads great into the next question. This is another reader-submitted question from Twitter user Run Ladylight. I wanted to know what your race strategy is for pushing through those toughest and most challenging parts of a race.
You know, I think we all have that point in a race where we start to doubt ourselves. And, I mean, I have always had it, even in my best races, where I think, I don't know if I can keep doing this, and I feel terrible, and I'm running really fast, and I don't know how much more I can give. And for me, I try to go back to places in practice where I've struggled. You know, not every day is a great day. As any runner knows, you have a lot of really bad days. You actually have a lot of really bad days. But, you know, you push through them, and maybe you don't hit the pace that you wanted, but you still get through it, or whenever I have a bad day, I really try to think of, like, well, what did I get out of today? Like, no, maybe I didn't hit my mile split perfectly, but what did I get? Well, I learned how to push through some discomfort, and I learned how to listen to my body. And so I try to go back to those places in races when it gets tough. I think I've been here before, and I pushed through, and I got through. And I really try to remind myself of all the times when I pushed through bad times. And I actually do that kind of leading up to the race, like the night before the race and a couple nights before. I look through my logbook, and I look through great workouts I had, and then I look at workouts that weren't so great, but that I still completed and got the most out of it that I could. That just helps me realize, like, there's going to be ups and downs in every training block and in every race, but you just have to kind of stick with it and remind yourself you've been there and you fought through it before. You can do it again.
Been there multiple times myself, so I definitely can relate to that. So the next question is also a user-submitted question from Twitter user Florida_running, and she wanted to know, what kind of cross-training activities do you do as part of your training regimen?
You know, I've gone back and forth on cross-training. When I ran for Alberto, I did a lot of cross-training where I would do elliptical and biking and aqua jogging and underwater treadmill running. And I did almost as much of that as I did running. It was kind of split, or I'd do like 2/3 of my miles would be from running, and another 1/3 would be from all cross training. Then I ran for Jerry Schumacher for a while, and that was just running, so I really didn't do any cross training. And now I actually am 2 weeks into a new program again, and I'm thinking more towards just running, but, you know, I was banged up this year quite a bit, and I did a lot of elliptical, a lot of aqua jogging. I think when you're tired and fatigued, a couple days in the pool is boring, but really therapeutic for your body. I find it helps a lot. And I have found that elliptical is the best thing for me to mimic running, as far as getting my heart rate up and being able to keep it up and just feeling like my whole body's getting a workout. So those are the two things I would recommend the most, is aqua jogging and elliptical.
Yeah, I'm absolutely terrible at cross training. Anything else but running. But in relation actually to that question, in regards to kind of when you're coming off an injury or something like that and looking to get back in shape, we have another question from a reader, Joshua_Reader9. He was wondering, how difficult was it getting back into competitive shape after you had your son, Colt? And were there any special workouts that you needed to work into your routine to quicken the pace of that?
Yeah, coming back from having Colt was harder than I thought it was going to be. I'm always really like a glass half full person, and I'm like, oh, it'll be fine, and I ran the whole time, and now I'm even stronger, and then it was like the reality. I remember trying to do 800-meter repeats at my goal marathon pace. It's like just four 800s in like 2:45, and I couldn't do it, you know, and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I doing? How am I going to run a marathon? So it was harder than I thought it was going to be, but the thing is, you just have to give yourself time, and I know you hear these stories of these people coming back. I mean, Paula won New York, you know, 11 months after she gave birth to Isla, and some amazing time, you know, right? So you hear this stuff and you think, oh, I should just be able to do that. But the reality is your body's gone through an incredible change and all these hormones, and it doesn't matter how hard you try, you can't flush those hormones out. Like, your body's going to take time and it's going to do what it needs to do. For me, the only, like, regret that I have is I wish I would have done more sort of core work around my hips and pelvis and things like that, because everything got stretched out. And I started running right away, and I was running 100-mile weeks, like, within, you know, within a month of him being born. And I just didn't pay attention to the little details. And I you know, I had set myself up to run Boston when he was 6.5 months old, and I ran Boston, and it went great. I mean, I ran 2:24, and it was great. But because I wasn't paying attention to the little details in my core work and things like that that I had abandoned, then I ended up, like, having some hip issues and some pelvis issues after that was could have been completely avoided had I just done that core stuff from the beginning.
Well, it's good that you are, I think, healthy now and on your way to a good 2014. So I have to ask, you know, it's been in the news lately that you recently, you know, you changed coaches, changed cities, and you're in the process of changing sponsors, Wall Street Journal reported. So if you don't mind me asking, what are your driving forces behind this huge kind of life change for 2014?
You know, they're totally independent of each other. I just needed a change in coaching. I felt like I have the ability and the skill set to make one more Olympic team, but I felt like where I was, it was not a personality thing. It was just me. I just needed a refresher. You know, I'm 35 years old, and I just felt like I just needed something big, some big refresher if I was going to make it another 3 or 4 years. And I started talking to my college coach and Heather Burrows, who works alongside with my college coach now, Mark Wetmore and Heather Burrows, and they just refreshed me. It just made me so excited about what I could still possibly do and goals I could get. And that for me was like a no-brainer. Like, I need to do this. And it was a little chaotic moving my family out here. We just moved out here just 2 weeks ago now. But it was definitely the right choice. As far as looking at other sponsors, I became a free agent at the end of the year, and I've been with Nike for 12.5 years, and I may continue to be with Nike, but it would be foolish on my part not to see what my other options are. So right now I am in talks with other companies. I'm about to start doing some visits, kind of like college recruiting all over again, and I'm just going to see what else is out there. And at the end of the day, maybe I do stay with Nike and maybe I don't, but I think it would be foolish to not see what my options are.
Right. Good luck with that. I'm sure whatever decision you ultimately make is going to be a prosperous one for both you and the company that you ultimately decide on. So in relation to the move, I was wondering, how is Colt adjusting to moving time zones, moving states and cities?
You know, Colt's always done a really good job. We travel to altitude camps, or we go to Europe for a month before the Olympics or whatever, and he's always done a really good job. This move has been different because he sees his stuff in a different place, and he's not very happy about it. So he's asked to go home quite a few times. He misses his friends, and he misses his play groups and all that kind of stuff. But he has cousins here, and he's going to make new friends here, and he's had good days and bad days, and it just, you know, hopefully more and more good days will come. And, you know, he's only 3, and I know eventually he won't even remember living in Oregon, but it's definitely been hard for him. He's asked to go home quite a few times.
I can imagine. My son is 17 months old, and even just an hour change out of his routine, and he has a miserable day, so.
Right, yeah. It's been hard on him. It's been kind of sad, but, like, I think, you know, I'm just starting to learn my routine here, which is different than the routine I had before. And once I get more established in my routine, then I can help Colt find a new routine. And I think when he gets into a new playgroup and makes new friends, I think it's going to help him so much. And we're hopefully going to start working that out in the next week or so.
Obviously, if he's traveling with you to the Olympics and to the altitude camps as such, he has somewhat of an idea. But does he really understand what you do for a living, and does he get excited when he goes to watch you race?
He knows I run. He doesn't understand at all. He thinks it's just normal that your parents go run every day. And, you know, he'll be like, Mom, did you go run when I get home from my morning workout? And then if I have an afternoon run, I'll go, well, I have to run a little bit tonight. And he's like, go do it. Go do it so you can come play, you know. So he just thinks it's normal, you know. Like this morning, we all woke up really sick today, actually, and he's like, go run so we can play. And I'm like, I'm just kind of dragging a little bit, but he doesn't really understand. He'll say, my mom runs so fast, and he cheers for me, but, you know, he doesn't get it. And honestly, that's part of my motivation for making one more Olympic team, because he was there in London and he was a part of it, and we have all the pictures to prove it. You know, he was waving a flag and wearing a shirt with my name on it and stuff, but I would really like him to see if I make one more, he'll be 6 and he'll remember that. And I just want him to experience, like, what being passionate about something and the sacrifices you make for something, what the payoff can be. And I, you know, that's my goal, is one more Olympic team, and I just would love to have him be on that journey with me and experience it.
That's exciting. And I think as parents, really, for me personally, I think that should be all of our goals, to make our kids think that running every day is something normal. It's just part of the routine.
Yeah.
So that's great. So obviously, with anyone that has a full-time career as a parent is juggling multiple things. In relation to your running career and parenting, what running compromises might you have had to make to be a better parent? And what parenting compromises might you have had to make in order to be a better runner?
I think that there's been compromises on both sides along the way. And it's kind of like you just kind of learn as you go. And then there are times where maybe I compromise being a parent a little bit more, and times where I compromise being a runner a little bit more. I mean, you know, 3 weeks out from Boston, if he wakes up in the night and he's calling out for me, I'm like, I'm not going. You know, Adam, you need to go get him, because I need to just stay in bed and rest, you know. And even though he's calling for mommy, we send daddy to go get him. But then there's other times where, you know, maybe I'm on a down period, or even yesterday, you know, I was feeling a little sick and I had a run. It didn't go so great. And I just want to lay in bed the rest of the day. And he says, I want to go to the park. I really want to go to the park. And I'm like, my son needs to go to the park. You know, he's having a hard time. He's finally asking to do something. He's excited about it. And even though as a runner, I should really just put my feet up and try to take a little nap. But as a parent, you know, we got in the car and we went to the park. So it's just kind of a balancing act. And sometimes I have to be a little bit, you know, lean towards the running right before a major competition. But, you know, honestly, 9 times out of 10, Colt wins out.
So do you have specific advice for parents that are trying to juggle everything at the same time? Anything that you've learned that you might want to pass on to other people?
I think a lot of people that are runners tend to be kind of perfectionists. And I've had to learn to just let a lot of things go, you know, let other people do things for me when they offer, you know, when someone offers to watch your kids, you can go for your afternoon run, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. I can't let my neighbor watch them. You know, just let them do it, you know, and just forgiving yourself a little bit for maybe not always having dinner ready on time, or maybe you're a little late to pick someone up. You just have to kind of let things go a little bit, because I think when you're running and you're taking that time for yourself, it actually makes you a better parent. You're more focused, and you're released for the day, and you've had just something that you've done for you, which then ends up being something you ended up doing for your child, because you come back more focused and refreshed and revived. For me, it was just about not trying to be perfect at everything, and, you know, not feeling guilty that I'm missing these moments with Colt because I'm taking time to run, but knowing that because I'm taking time to run when I am with Colt, I'm much more focused and a better mom.
Right. My wife and I talk about it all the time, that it's important for us to take time for ourselves. Otherwise,
yeah,
we're not going to be 100% for our son. My wife actually has a question.
Okay.
But she wants to know what you've learned about yourself since becoming a parent.
I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I was capable of more than I thought I was, and stronger than I thought I was. You know, before, my entire life was built around running. My husband, professional athlete as well, or he's retired now, but he was, and we built our entire day around running and resting. And then after I had Colt, you know, your child becomes your priority. Running's still very important, but it's secondary. And I mean, I used to watch other moms, you know, pick up their kids, and I'd just be tired just watching them, you know.
Yeah.
And I have learned, you know, like you're stronger than you think. You can give more than you think. And I think honestly, I was excited to be a mom. I really wanted to be a mom, Adam, and I really wanted to be parents. But I think the amount of love you feel for this person, it has just blinded both of us. Like, we just can't believe how much we love him, how obsessed we are. I mean, we're just so obnoxious with how cool we think he is, and amazing we think he is. You know, it's like, it's so annoying. Like, we're those people who are like, oh my God, he did this thing. It was so cute, so funny. And then we just sit there and we tell him, you're so cool, you're so cool, you know. And just this love you feel, and it's amazing. It's just like this, just such a powerful thing you feel. And it just enhances everything in your life, and it just gives you perspective on everything in life. And it's just given me such better perspective, and it's made me realize I'm capable of more than I thought I was capable of.
Yeah, that's got to definitely translate over into your running, too, to give you even more confidence in what you're able to do.
Yeah, and it's easier to shake off a bad day, because I'm like, okay, so I had a bad tempo run. I'm over it now because I have this most amazing kid that just wants to hang out with me, you know? So it just gives you perspective on everything, and it's just, I mean, you know, it's just the best. And I used to hate it when people would say that before I had a kid. I'd be like, oh, my God, I hate when people say that. And I'm like, no, I mean, it's really true. Like, it just changes your entire way you view life and the way you view the world, and it's just amazing. It's so much better than you could ever imagine.
So this question you might be totally unprepared for, so I apologize if you don't have an answer, it's fine. But, you know, as parents, funny things happen to us all the time with our kids. So I want to know if you have a really particularly funny or embarrassing parenting story that you'd like to share.
Oh, goodness. I don't know. This is catching me off guard. Actually, the other day I was so horrified because my mother-in-law lives here, and she came over to watch Colt so I could work out. And he, like, threw a fit. I wasn't there. My husband was here to pass him off to her. And he was like, I got home from my run, and he's sitting at the front door. And, you know, they don't filter anything. And he's like, can she go now? I just want her to leave now. And I was, like, dying. I'm like, this is your grandmother who, you know, in a month from now you're going to be obsessed with. She's giving you new toys all the time. But they just have no filter, and it was just so embarrassing. I wanted to die. It was pretty bad.
That is actually quite funny. My son does that too. He can't really speak well yet, but he loves to push my mom away from him when he's ready to be done with her.
Oh, yeah. It's like, oh, please, why are you doing that? Like, it's just awful.
So, looking forward now, what does 2014 and the next couple of years look for you? I mean, what is your plan in terms of getting ready before the 2016 Olympics?
Well, when I asked Mark and Heather if they'd take me back and coach me again, they asked me what my goals were, and I said my goal was to stand on a podium at a major marathon again and to make another Olympic team, and that I, you know, a 10K PR would also be like a little icing on the top. And they said that they didn't feel like that was unreasonable at all, but that I needed to go back to the track, I needed to cut down my mileage, and I needed to really focus back on speed before it's too late, basically. So for me, the entire focus of 2014 is getting back to speed. I've run 405 for the 1500 and 834 for the 3K. I'll never run those kinds of times again. Like, that has just passed. But I've run, you know, 3055 and 1455, and these are times that they believe I can get back down to or close to. So I'll be spending the spring just cutting back way on my mileage. I'm only running 80 miles a week right now, and I will only run that until the summertime. And just kind of trying to get fast again, running a couple 10Ks and possibly a couple 5Ks. And then hopefully roll that into a fall marathon. But instead of doing like a harder marathon, I'm kind of thinking about doing a faster marathon and trying to really bring my marathon PR down a bit. The focus of this year is just kind of getting fast, and then I don't really know. They'll tell me what the focus of next year is. I'm kind of just putting my faith in them and trusting them.
Right. Yeah, most people take it one day at a time, but you need to take it a year at a time, too.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, or at least from when I was reading yesterday, is that they still haven't come to a decision on where that qualifying course is going to be. I believe it's Boston and Los Angeles. Do you have a preference on either of those courses?
It's tough because Houston did a great job. They did an awesome job. And if it's in Houston and you have a bad day, you have plenty of time to recover and switch focus for the 10K and try to make the 10K team in June or the end of June, early July, whenever the trials are. So from a safety perspective, Houston is a better choice. The tough part about Houston is you can't really do a fall marathon. It's really risky to do a fall marathon and then, you know, in October or November, and then race the U.S. trials in January. It's just really close together. So therefore, you're really looking at a spring marathon as your last chance to race international competition. So let's say you run Boston, that's in April, and that's your last chance to race against international competition until the Olympic Games, which is over a year later. So that makes it tricky. So if the trials were in L.A., you can do a fall marathon. You have one more chance, less than a year out from the Olympic Games, to race, you know, other people from other countries at a big stage. But it makes it really hard to come back then in March. I think that the LA marathon's in March, and then it's really hard to come back from that and make an Olympic team in the 10K. So I kind of don't know how to feel about either one. There's pros and cons to both. You know, with LA, I would definitely be able to do a fall marathon, which is nice. But with Houston, it's over and done earlier. You have more time to recover for the Olympics, and you can also recover and make that 10K team if you need to. So I don't know. I'm kind of 50-50.
Well, I guess in a way, luckily, it's out of your hands.
Yeah, it is out of my hands. They asked me for my opinion a couple months ago, and I emailed them. Basically, I can't decide.
Okay.
I thought Houston did a great job, and I basically told them exactly what I just told you. And I don't know if that was noted or not, but I really, whatever they tell me, I'll just make a plan around that. You know, I really have no control over it, and I'll make a great plan whenever I find out what it is.
So do you have any last words of wisdom for parents and or runners out there that are listening in?
I just think that it seems crazy, but I do think that parenting and running go really well together. And like we were saying, you know, you want your son to think that just going for a run is normal. It just, like, makes your kids have a healthier lifestyle from the beginning. Like, it's not weird to them. You know, exercise isn't a punishment like it is for a lot of other families.
Right.
You grow up around it. You know, Colt knows athletes, and he'll go for his own little run around the house. And it's fun, and we've gotten to know so many great people. And people that are, like, I ran with Carrie Tolson in high school, and now she has two children, and Cole gets to see them at events, and it's just, running is such a great community, and it really embraces family, and it just is such an awesome place and a supportive place, and I think that they just really help each other and balance each other out, and they really complement each other, and they're a fun journey to take together. You know, running a family together is just an awesome journey to take.
I absolutely agree with that. So I just want to say thank you again for taking the time out of your day, especially when you're not feeling well, to talk today. So if people want to stay connected with you and follow your progress, what's the best way to do that?
I actually just launched a website a couple months ago, caragoucher.com, and I'm going to be much more active with that, especially when I decide who I'm going to go with sponsorship-wise, and I'll be, you know, saying what races I'm going to be doing, if I'm doing appearances, where I'm going to be. But you can always follow me on Facebook or Twitter as well, at Kara Goucher on Twitter and Kara Goucher on Facebook.
All right. Well, thank you very much again for taking the time to talk to us. We all want to wish you good luck this year and next year and in the coming years. And we definitely look forward to following your progress.
Thank you. I appreciate it.